Great singing. Be seated, please. Anytime you see me in my suit, you know I've buried another one. We buried Brother Hubbard yesterday, one of my best friends here at the church and one of the first people to befriend me. He's a longtime trustee of the church, and we really love him, and he's gone to a better place. He was 88 years young, and he had become bedridden, so it's really the very best for him. Burnett Wood's sister is going to have surgery tomorrow, and Maggie Pope had problems yesterday. She was sick, and her grandson's wife was killed, and so we want to pray for them. They had three children, and so let's go to the Father in prayer, please. Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love and Thy great mercy and Thy great goodness. We thank Thee, Father, for this congregation of Thy church. We're thankful for the poor and the meek and the downtrodden that meet here. We're so thankful, Father, that You've given us this radio ministry that goes forward to all of North Texas. Father, we pray that You touch many hearts of the 7 million in our broadcast area and draw them to Christ. Father, we're so thankful for the internet ministry that You've given us. Thank You, Father, thank You for the blessings that You've given this congregation. Thank You, Father, for helping us with the preaching of the cross of Christ here. We're thankful, Father, that You've given us the ability to feed the poor and the hungry. We pray, Father, as we go forward today to feed the hungry and the homeless, that You'll bless us. Help us, Father. Bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes. Bless all those that prepare the food. Save us and give us a home in heaven with Thee. You know of all our sick and all of our shut-ins and all those that we've mentioned. Please be with the Hubbard family as they drive back to Arkansas, giving them much mercy. We pray Thee in Christ's name. Amen. Well, I'm going to give a very short report to the church this morning on the ministry here. The Lord has blessed us. We've added another hour to our radio broadcast. We have 3 hours each Sunday with 3 different lessons that goes out every Sunday. One at 11 o'clock, we're on the radio right now. One at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and one at 9 o'clock tonight. And so that goes out to a broadcast area of 7 million souls. We have no idea how many that's listening, but we get kind of an idea based on our website. Last month, which was February, we had 36,343 hits on our website. We are close to 500,000 hits a year. We have doubled again. Last time I gave you a report, I told you that we had doubled that first time. Now we have doubled again. We're close to 500,000 hits a year. We downloaded an astounding 139 million kbytes. We're close to downloading 1 billion kbytes this year. That's just unbelievable. Kbytes is like, if a byte is like a syllable of a word. So kbytes are 1,000 bytes, so it would be like 1,000 words or 1,000 syllables. So we have a better turnout here. I'm thankful that all of you are here. We've got visitors, and we thank you all, and we're so glad that y'all have come. And all of our visitors here today, those of you that's here for the first time, we're so very thrilled. We have a jail and prison ministry. Brother Eddie Frazier taught and baptized 1,521 last year. We have a ministry to the backers. We have a hospital chaplain, Sister Lois Horn goes to the hospital. Purple Heart missionary to the veterans, Brother Al. We have our students. Foy is doing an excellent job, and I'm so thankful the Lord sent you to us, Foy. I need the help. So we thank the Lord for you. We have a new man coming. He'll be here. He'll leave Pennsylvania next Friday. His name is Jason Szymaski. So we can handle a Polish gentleman here, can't we? And so we've got a new student coming. He'll be coming this, maybe by next Sunday he'll be here. We hope he is. We want him to drive safe. And we pray for the poor here. Our ministry is dedicated to two things, preaching the gospel of Christ, as the Lord told us, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and we're sure trying to do it, aren't we? And the poor. Preaching the gospel and the poor, those two things are our ministry here. I want to thank Richard that's doing so good in the kitchen to help us. We feed about 400 meals every Sunday. We'll feed about 150 here in the building. We'll send about 100 to-go plates out of here. And we'll open the kitchen window and we'll feed about 150 buggy people, street people, not quite that many when it's cold like this, every Sunday out the kitchen window. Every day we give out about 150 bologna sandwiches. Isn't that wonderful? Simply two pieces of bread and one slice of bologna, because that's all we can afford. I'm happy to report to you that last week, when our week was over, we had $414 left in our bank account. Our bank account is much like your bank account, isn't it? Not a lot in there after we get through paying the bills. But you know something, the good part? God seems to own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and we keep paying the bills, and that's all that counts. All of us are volunteers. Nobody here gets paid. We give Foy $10 a day for pocket money and expense money, and that's pretty cheap for a preacher. Most of them want $45,000-$50,000 a year, and so Foy is working for the same pay that I work for, and that's very little. Our office staff, Lois Horn and Jordy and Al and Emmett, I just can't thank y'all enough. And you know something? All of y'all are working. Everybody's got some kind of job around here, and that's what's good. I need all of your help. No man can do the work that we're doing. And so it's really a miracle. A lot of people in the Churches of Christ don't believe in miracles. We believe that God is active and in our lives today. And I'm telling you right now, it's a miracle when you can take the Main Street Church of Christ, start with 40 people, and we buried all but four of the 40, and we can have a building almost full this morning. So we thank God for that. And besides that, just think of how many people's listening on the radio and the internet. We know we've got 1,400 on the internet, so no telling how many on the radio. We will continue our study this morning in the book of Hebrews. We're going to wrap up the book of Hebrews today. If you'd open your Bibles with me, please, to Hebrews 1. I'm going to go over a few things that we've gone over in our study in the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to give you a theme for the book of Hebrews that I have never put together for you before. And so this will begin in Hebrews 1:1. Some of the most eloquent verses in all of the Bible, Hebrews 1:1 and following. God, who at sundry times, that's many times in the past and in many parts, God who at sundry times and in different manners, and that word in the Greek there would indicate many harmonious forms of speech. Think about this. The Bible is made up of about 39 writers writing over 1,500 years that never contradict each other. Now, you can talk to Ginger and I, and you'll get a contradiction every time you talk to us. How in the world is that possible? Well, it's inspiration's what it's called. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that means many harmonious forms of speech. And you know what it really means is just like a cappella singing. Every one of them is a part. You've got the soprano, and you've got the tenor, and you've got the bass, and you've got the alto. And all of those working together, that's how the prophets who wrote in the Bible wrote. And they all fit together and make a harmonious sympathy of this Bible. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers of the Jews, how did he do that? By the prophets. Hath, past tense verbs, already happened, hath in these last days, the Christian age in the Bible is known as the last days, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus is the spoken word of God, and he is who spoke the universe into being, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, nobody else involved in his work, by himself purged our sins, sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high. In being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than that. So here we begin to pick up a theme that's going to be carried through in this book of Hebrews. And that's number one, is that we have a better revelation. The New Testament is a better revelation than the Old Testament. It is a better revelation. Now, if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 19, we'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloads of a cappella singing and fair to middling gospel preaching. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. You see, we have a better hope than what they had in the Old Testament. This hope that we have in Christ Jesus is an entirely better hope because theirs was based upon law and ours is based upon mercy and grace. Now down to verse 22. By so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. So you see, we have a better testament than the Old Testament. The New Testament is a better testament than the Old Testament. In chapter 8, verse 6, we see, but now has he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. The new covenant is better than the old covenant. The old covenant was a covenant of law. The new covenant is a covenant of grace and of mercy. It's an entirely better covenant, which was established on better promises. The Old Testament didn't know anything about this promises of eternal life. It was only mentioned a few times in the Old Testament. But we have better promises. Everlasting life is promised in the New Testament. And another promise, you remember this in a few minutes, that I'm going to explain to you here in just a few minutes. Chapter 9, verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purged with these, but the heavenly things with better sacrifices than these. The sacrifices under Christianity, the blood of Christ is the sacrifice under Christianity, is a better sacrifice than the sacrifice of blood of bulls and of goats. In chapter 10, verse 34, chapter 10, verse 34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. And substance is really possessions, is what it's talking about. You're going to have better possessions in heaven than you have down here. You might have a brand new car down here, but it's going to be better than that in heaven. Heaven is better. Look at chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better country. We have a better country than the Old Testament country, than the promised land. But now they desire a better country that is heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, and has prepared for them a city. In chapter 11, verse 35, women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. We have a better resurrection promise than the one promised in the Old Testament, because remember, Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, but he died again. Several people were rose from the dead in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but they all died again. This is a better resurrection that we go to. And so now we'll go to chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. This all began back in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 6, back in your Old Testament, where God talks about love. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Ehad. The Lord our God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. The first place that God wanted you to put his word was in his heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be for frontlets between thy eyes. In Matthew chapter 22, we see the Lord talking about love. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 34. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. They didn't take notice that he had already put the Sadducees to silence, so here they come. And one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what does God want of us? He wants us to love him with all our heart and all our mind and all of our soul. And how can we demonstrate that we do that? We can demonstrate that by loving our neighbor as ourselves. How can we claim that we know and love God when we don't love God's creation that's standing beside us? Now we'll turn to James chapter 2, verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law, James calls it. He calls it a royal law. Why? Well, the king gave it in the Old Testament and he gave it in the New Testament. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Why is Christianity better? Well, it's based upon love. We're going to look at some things. And this is not in your PowerPoint, so I'm going to read these to you and talk to you about this. It is a sad thing for me always to have to ask the church to withdraw fellowship from anyone. But our brother Larry Richards has left us. We didn't leave him. And he has great, great ability, and we still trust God to save him and deliver him from his demons. But I think that it would probably be best if he contacts any of you, that if you tell him to contact me, because I'm not going to turn my back on him. I'm going to continue to love him. But a bunch of us can't work with him when he's in this situation, and I think it would probably be better if I did. You know, I've loved him. He's been a friend of mine for 24 years, but this has nothing to do with friendship. You understand? This has to do with brotherhood. Doesn't have anything to do with friendship. All of you are my brothers. Friendship cannot enter in regards to that. Now, Christianity is better. It offers us a better hope. But there's also death and destruction in going back to the world. In Joshua chapter 5, the Lord told Joshua to go and take Jericho. And so I'll begin reading in Joshua chapter 6, verse 17. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. And only Rahab the harlot shall live, and all therein with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed, in trouble there. And so everything in the city of Jericho was put under the ban, it was called. And it was dedicated as a solemn sacrifice to the Lord. When they took Jericho, they were not to take any gold or any silver. They were not to take any of the food. Later, when the archaeologists dug that city, they found that the food had just been brought into the city. And none of the food was taken out of this city. And all conquering armies spoiled. The food, the army's got to eat. And so Jericho was put under the ban. And so the next day, they decide that it's time for them to go take this little city of Ai. Now in chapter 7, verse 1, and the children of Israel committed trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Cami, the son of Zibai, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And so the children of Israel told Joshua, they said, listen, this city is nothing like Jericho. Jericho was huge and walled up to heaven, huge walls. In this city, the word I means in Hebrew the ruin. It had already been spoiled. It had been destroyed in about 2200 B.C. And there was only light construction that was done there. And so Joshua and them, the people are going to go take I. And they said, let's just send 3,000 up there to take I. So they went up to take I. And the people at I just beat them like red-headed stepchild. Killed 36 of them. Run them off. Chased them. And so all of Israel knows something's wrong, because on one hand Jericho walls fall down and then they capture the city. Next thing, this little old peanut place, they get their rear end kicked. What's the deal here? So the Lord tells them. God tells them that they have the accursed thing among them. Down in verse 12, verse 13, is again he says you have an accursed thing among them. And then he tells them what to do. He says, bring all the tribes and we'll shoot dice. And then the tribe that I show you, that's the tribe it's in. Then bring all the families of that tribe and that family will shoot dice. And the one that I show you, that's the family. And then narrow it on down. And so they get down here to Achan. And so Joshua asks Achan, verse 19, and Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now, and hide not what thou hast done, hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and thus I have done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, 50 shekels worth. Man, that was a small fortune. He seen a small fortune that I coveted them, that's one of the Ten Commandments that he broke. I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So to make the story short, they took them out and stoned all he had, all his cattle and everything he had in the Valley of Achor. Now, that's pretty harsh on the Old Testament. Did God send him to hell? We don't know. Maybe he just forfeited his life. We don't know. We can't judge things like that, but God will judge. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we see that Paul tells the church at Corinth to withdraw fellowship from someone. It is reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. This guy had married or was living with his stepmother. And so Paul says, man, that's an accursed thing. Don't do that. And you're puffed up and have not mourned that he has done this deed, might be taken away from among you. For I verily am absent of the body and present of the spirit, have judged already if I was present. Verse 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of Lord Jesus. You see, fellowship has to do with us all being together and being united, and one loose cannon can sink the whole ship, so we're to practice discipline. You remember, that's what I preached on last week, was church discipline. Now, the good news under Christianity that wasn't under the Old Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, what's happened, Paul wrote the letter of 1 Corinthians. They rebuked this guy, and he heard the rebuke, and he repented. And so they asked Paul about it in another letter, and he tells them in verse 6, sufficient to such a man is his punishment, which was inflicted by the many. So that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with much sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love towards him. So Larry has failed to appear in court. He's going to probably get 5 years off an old case that he could have got 8 months off of. And I have no doubt that he's going to show up on my front porch 5 years from now and be 63 years old. And that one snaggle tooth that he's got, he's not going to have it. Now, he can always come and be a member of the Main Street Church of Christ, and we'll always forgive him. And so I want y'all to tell him, if he contacts you for anything, to call me. Don't loan him any money. Don't give him any money. He needs to find repentance, and God will work those things out. Let's have a quick prayer. Father in heaven, have mercy on us. We're sinners ourselves. Lord, we seek not to throw any stones this morning. And we don't want to turn Larry over to Satan, so instead we're going to turn him over to you, Lord. We ask that you discipline him, help him, help Darren. Bring them back to the cross of Christ and to repentance, we pray thee. Save our souls and give us all a home in heaven with thee, in Christ's name. Amen. Back to Hebrews 13. Let brotherly love continue. See, brotherly love has discipline in it. It's all right. It's all right. You discipline your children and you love them. God disciplines us like we're children. He loves us. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Hospitality was a big thing in those days. There was no such thing as inns and motels and hotels and stuff. So people showed up, and the downstairs of your house generally was like your barn back in the country that we know. Downstairs was livestock and stuff like that. They kept their mules, their donkeys and stuff inside the house, their sheep and their goats downstairs. And so let anybody sleep down there is what it was talking about. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Abraham didn't know that those people that came to visit him before Sodom and Gomorrah, he didn't know they were angels. He kind of had an idea. He kind of wondered about it, but he didn't know it for sure. And Lot didn't know that the strangers that he entertained were angels, but he entertained strangers. And so the apostle is telling us here, it worked out good for them, didn't it? Entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. And I have no doubt that God can send his messengers anytime, any place that he wants them. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of them show up here, and I imagine that they're going to look like they're homeless. I'd imagine that's what angels would come looking like. I don't think they drive up here in a brand new Cadillac with a pocket full of money and a big fine suit on. I think they'd want to see how we accepted lowly people, don't you? Be forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home or call us at 214-821-2123 for a free CD. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Remember them that are in bonds. Now, we have a jail and prison ministry. I'm not real big on equating this to people who are in prison for breaking the law, except when they're breaking the law and it has to do with the testimony of Jesus. Understand that back in this day, he wasn't talking about a prison ministry. He was talking about people that were locked up for their testimony of Jesus. Now, I'm an old ex-con myself, and my heart goes out to people that are in jail and in prison. But this verse is not teaching them. Remember them that are in bonds, those people are suffering for the testimony of Jesus, as bound with them, and them that suffer adversity as being yourself also in the body. Paul is telling them, you may be next. You may be next. You may be called upon to suffer adversity for the Lord. You may be called upon to go to jail for the testimony of Jesus Christ. It could happen. Not likely in this country right now, but it certainly could happen. Marriage is honorable in all. And so he's talking about here probably the Essenes, who back in those days said that people shouldn't marry. But he says marriage is honorable in all. I wonder how the Pope got his idea about celibacy and about all those priests that can't get married. You see, he says marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And so God expects us to conduct ourselves sexually in a way that we're to be married, and we're to do those things at home. And that's the God of the Bible took sex out of the temple and brought it into the home. All of the ancient world worshiped false gods, and sex was a part of their temple worship. The temple of Diana in Ephesus had 1,000 temple prostitutes. So when you went to the temple in the ancient world, you went there to have carnal sex with people that you didn't know, with strangers. And God took sex out of the false worshiping temples and brought it into the home where it ought to be. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Conduct yourself in a manner of life, in this manner of life, in other words. And don't desire nothing more than what God gives you. Now here in this last sentence, for he has said, now this last sentence beginning now, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In this sentence in the Greek, the original Greek, there are five negatives in this short sentence connected with two verbs and one pronoun that's twice repeated. The translators really didn't give you a good translation here because there are five negatives in that original Greek and they only give you one. So here is a literal translation on the board. No, I will never leave thee. Second negative. Not I. Third negative. I will never, never cast thee off. That ought to make cold chills go up and down our back. God is telling us that he loves us that much. And next time you're in trouble, you remember that. No, I will never leave thee. Not I. I will never, never cast thee off. Isn't that wonderful? He'll never leave us, never forsake us, never turn his back on us. If we die, he'll meet us in death. If we live, he'll meet us in life. Whatever we do, he will be part of it. He will never leave us and never forsake us, ever, ever, ever. Those who understand the Greek language will look how these negatives placed in one sentence They'll perceive immediately how much meaning is strengthened and what emphatic affirmation they represent in telling us how much God loves us. Those that are patiently bearing affliction or persecution for Christ's sake, any faithful soul in affliction, temptation, or adversity of any kind. So that means God hadn't left Larry this morning. It's Larry that's left God, but God hadn't left him. And so sometimes if we think God's not near, we need to check who's moved. It's not God that's moved. God hadn't gone nowhere. He'll never leave us. No, I will never leave thee. Not I. I will never, never will I cast thee off. How wonderful. How wonderful of a promise. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Remember them that have the rule over you, and that's really not a good translation there. It's really remember those that were your guides. And I think that this is the Apostle Paul that's writing this book. And I'm sure that he's referring back to Stephen, that great Christian martyr that Paul held the robes for while the evil, wicked Jews stoned him. I'm sure that he was referring to Stephen as one of those guys. And James, the just, the one that Herod killed with a sword, I'm sure that he was referring to him. Those who've passed on, remember them have the rule over you, your guides, that have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation. James was one of the first martyrs. Follow their faith. Follow their example. Verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, what does that mean? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So that was true yesterday in the Old Testament period. It's true today, right then in the New Testament period, when it was being written about 62 AD. And it's true tomorrow. It's true for us right now today. And it'll be true for all tomorrows. There's just one way to the pearly gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ the same has the same power to save, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have occupied therein. The Jews are real big about keeping kosher and keeping kosher food versus the Gentiles. He's telling them, don't be worrying about that so much now. For we have an altar, and the altar is where the sacrifice goes. And Jesus is our sacrifice. But those that serve in the temple and offer the Levitical sacrifices that are still offering the blood of bulls and goats have no right to the altar that we go to. For we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat that serve the tabernacle. Those people who have gone back to Judaism have regressed from Christianity and gone back to Judaism and are now working in the tabernacle, offering the blood of bulls and goats, they don't have any right to our sacrifice, which is the perfect sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the gate. You see, there were many different kinds of offerings. And so offerings, day-to-day offerings that were brought to the Lord, the lamb would be killed, the lamb would be skinned, the lamb would be cooked, and that lamb, the priest could eat of that lamb, except the sin offering on the Day of Atonement. And the sin offering, they had to take that and anything that was left of it, they took it out of the camp and burned it out of the camp. No man might eat of the sin offering. Verse 11 again, for those bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest, went in once a year on the Day of Atonement for sin, are burned without the camp. No man could eat of the sin offering. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And it's like Paul is saying, leave this city and this temple because it's devoted to destruction. It's going to be destroyed in just a few years. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. The temple is going to be destroyed just like Jesus taught Matthew 24. Those things are going to happen. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For there we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. In other words, this city, Jerusalem, is going to be burned with fire. And it's like he's saying, arise and depart out of this. This city is not your rest. The Christian city is your rest. This new Jerusalem that's coming. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Now, in quoting this in the Old Testament, it was the fruit of calves, but in the New Testament, what it's really referring to is the vow. Calves were vowed. In other words, a person would vow before the year began, 1 out of every 10 calves that I get this year, Lord, I'm going to give to you. So that would be your offering to the Lord. He's saying that when you give of your blessings, that it's just like giving that fruit of the lips, the vow that you have made to the Lord. We don't give it once a year like they gave it. We are to set aside on the first day of the week, let every man set aside according as the Lord has blessed him. So your contribution is an acceptable sacrifice to God, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so it is the substitute for the calves. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased, versus the Levitical sacrifices, that he no longer accepts the blood of bulls and goats. Obey them that have the rule over you, and this be loyal to your leaders, is what's being taught there, and submit yourself. See, in subjection, there's protection. Anytime you're in subjection to God, you're protected. Anytime you're out of subjection, you're out of protection. You know, we're to be in subjection one to another. I'm subjection to my wife most of the time, ain't I, babe? She better say, yeah. Obey them and have a rule over you and submit yourself. You're hearing that, ain't you, Ginger? And they that watch for your souls, that they might give a good account. And I hate to even think about that. I hope that I don't have to give an account for you guys someday. I really hope. I hope that that's talking about elders, and I'm not qualified to be an elder. I hope that that's what's being taught to us, because I'd hate to think that I'm going to have to stand before God on the judgment day and give an account for all of you guys and everybody that's been here for the last 15 years. But I probably will, you know, I probably will. That's why James can say, be ye not many teachers, for greater or stricter is your judgment. So I'm going to have a stricter judgment. And so I've got to practice those things in life. Let him who stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor with his hands. I've got to practice good things. They watch for your souls and must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust to have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And so that's our goal as Christians, to have a clear conscience, live honestly with all people. Don't backbite or stab anybody. Love your neighbors yourself. Love all your brethren. Love everybody. Even love your enemies. Now, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But if it was impossible, he'd have never told us to do it, would he? But I beseech you rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Isn't that good news? I have the assurance this morning that even though I am a poor shepherd and not qualified to be a shepherd, even though I'm such a worthless shepherd, Jesus Christ, the shepherd of the sheep, he's going to shepherd all of those sheep that's gone astray. The great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, to suffer the words of exhortation that I've written this letter to you in a few words. Now, I want you to notice, he rebuked them from chapter 1 all the way through, didn't he? He smacked them around a little. He quoted Bible to them, didn't he? He quoted Scripture. There was none of this cool whip cotton mouth preaching like you hear today. This guy taught the Bible to them. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom I will come shortly. I will see you. If he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, the leaders of the church, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be unto you all. Amen. And so we have now the book of Hebrews that we have studied. I'd like to encourage you how much better Christianity is than the Old Testament covenant. It is based upon a better revelation. There is a better hope. It's a better testament. It's a better covenant. It's based on better promises, based on better sacrifices, better possessions, a better country, and a better resurrection. And so I hope that you'll be a part of that. The only way that you can possibly be a part of that is to hear the gospel of Christ and believe it. The Apostle Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, that which I preached unto you, and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if, big word, if you keep in memory that which I delivered unto you." What if you don't? "Unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So that is the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you believe that gospel, there's just no reason for you to be lost. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." He doesn't say shall not. He said should not perish. Wouldn't it be a dirty, rotten shame if you believed in Jesus and you perish? Because you got to add to that belief faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith it's impossible to please him." Faith is to trust the propositional promises of God, to hear what God says, believe what he says, and take action based on the belief. You hear what he says, "He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out." You believe it, you take action based upon it, and you come to him. The Bible teaches that we need to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness," right up against it. "And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation," right up against it. The Bible talks about we need to repent. "For the times of ignorance God has winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent." So repent means change your mind. Means change your heart. It means you go in this direction serving the devil, and you stop and you turn. You go exactly the opposite direction serving God. And the Bible tells us we need to be baptized into Christ. The day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If you're here this morning, you want to become a Christian, you're going to have that opportunity now. You can just march right down here and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'd encourage our radio audience to flee the Church of Christ nearest your home and ask, "What must I do to be saved?" before it's everlasting too late. If you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Blood.
home now. Like, Maggie's grandson. For sin and you laugh, you need the prayers of this church. Won't you come now while we continue to sing? George, Charles Da Silva has been working with him for several years. Brother George is from Kenya, right? Mm-hmm. You believe with all your heart Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes, I do.
You now want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord?
I do.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. If you go in right over here, brother, we'll baptize you straight away. Sure glad to have you.
So, a bit about time.
I just want to tell the church that this young man, I met him 3 years ago at the fellowship I used to work that took me Nissan. He's an amazing young man. He was 18. He left his mom and father. He wanted to sit and tell a lot for himself. And he came to Texas all over from Delaware. He was born in Kenya, Obama country, or something. And he wanted to tell a lot for himself, and somehow God put me in the right place. You know, God makes no mistake. And he put me right there where I needed to be able to minister to him. I have another child, but you know, God continued to bless every time. And this child is so strong in the Lord, I was convinced that he's pretty good. Last week, he proposed to his childhood friend of 15 years to marry him. And he's going to be 23 because he had nothing so pleasing in the whole world to be excited. So then God blesses. And God has blessed this man, and I'm thankful, and I'm so cherished the fact that he's going to be baptized in the Lord tonight. And I want y'all to continue to pray for him. Also having some financial difficulties, and God is able, and he's going to overcome all your sins, and God is able.
Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to approach your throne. We know it's only because of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are given that opportunity. So for that, we are thankful and we praise your name. We want to lift up Sister Dewberry to you. We pray, dear Father, that you would bless her in all areas of her life. We pray that you would bless those at the Dickinson Place. Bless all of her friends and her family members that she is praying for. And Zachary at the Menards store, the checker, we pray for him as well. We pray also for the Vaughn family, that you would bless them in the areas where they need you, both physically, financially, dear Father, and with their health. We pray also that you would forgive them of the sins that they're confessing of and help them to overcome those sins when they approach with them again. We pray also for Gloria Cantu, dear Father, that you will be with her as she goes to court. Go before her, dear Father, and lay down that foundation that she will need in order to present herself in a way that is going to be pleasing to the court. We pray that things will go well, dear Father, that you will prick the heart of the judges, and if there's a jury, that you will prick their hearts, and that they will help her, dear Father, and give her justice, dear Father. We know there's so much injustice in this world. So we pray for justice in that case. We pray also for Vanita Spivey, who just put a card with her name on it. We know, dear Father, that you know the things that she stands in need of, so we pray that you will bless her and help her in all areas of her life. We want to pray for Robert as well, dear Father, that you will be with his co-worker, Kenny Woods, that you will help him, dear Father, even through his mental illness, to be able to find some sort of happiness and joy and change his anger to love and happiness, dear Father. So we pray for that situation. Dear Father, we also pray that you will be with the Pope family, be with Shannon and Karen Cobb at the loss of Joy. We pray, dear Father, that you will be with them as they bereave the death that has just recently taken place. We pray, dear Father, for the babies, the kids, and all the family members that are left behind. We pray that you will help guide them and help them, dear Father, to have the wisdom to know how to carry on. And dear Father, bless them in all areas of their life. We pray for Gina as she comes forward asking for prayers for the relief of the pain that she's having in her legs. Pray, dear Father, that you will be with her and help her to be able to get whatever medical treatments that she needs, if she so needs them, dear Father. We pray that you will help ease her pain as well. We pray that you will bless her in all areas of her life. We pray for Abigail, dear Father, that you will forgive her, that you will forgive her the sins that she's confessing of, give her the strength that she needs to stay on that straight and narrow path. Todd as well, dear Father, that you will help him with his issues that he's facing right now with his faith. We pray that you will help to increase his faith, dear Father. We pray also for her niece, Rachel, that you will put your hands on her, dear Father, and heal her of the condition she has that is creating the blood problems with clots and jeopardizing the health and safety of her baby. We pray for that situation and the doctors and staff and those who are attending to her, that you will give them the wisdom to perform the right procedures and give the right diagnosis, dear Father, so that she might get back to her state of health and that the baby will be strong and no harm will come to the baby. We pray for George as he gives his life to you, dear Father, as he confesses of his sins. And we pray, dear Father, that when he becomes a new creature in Christ, and he becomes a Christian, that you will continue to bless him and give him all of the fruit of the Spirit that he needs in order to stay on a straight, narrow path, and that his life, dear Father, will affect those around him, his family members and his friends, and that he will bring more people to Christ. We thank you, dear Father, for all the many blessings that you have given each and every one of us in the past, the blessings that you have bestowed on us right now at this present time, and we thank you for all the blessings that you will give us in the future as well. We want to ask that you would forgive each and every one of us here of our sins and our shortcomings. Help us all to strive to be more and more like Jesus Christ every single day of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Judge and Your Honor, upon your confession, I baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins.